Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you disappointed with the snow?
No.
Would you have liked more?
Yes.
You know, they build these things. Oh, no, 5, 2 to 4, 3 to 5, 4 to 7, 2. No, I'm not really disappointed. It's going to, you know, whatever. It's Michigan's winter. I really shortened the homily yesterday because it was snowing and I figured people wanted to get out of here. So I'm going to just add all that time onto this one. I'm going to try to be a little shorter, but you never know. I am finding a little bit this year, not really harder, but you know, I've written these homilies for Advent for 40 years. What's a new insight after all this time? Even as I stand and read this gospel for us, you know, it strikes me, and it's probably not the most inviting thing to say, but in light of the gospel, you don't have to answer out loud, are you afraid of death? Well, where'd you come up with that? I think that's an Advent theme, don't you? Well, it is. This whole reality of being ready, being prepared, it's spiritual. It's not like, look out, here it comes. It's spiritual. Again, perhaps a wayward thought, but it's a correct one. You certainly would be aware that really from the earliest beginnings of the development of human civilization, even in those way back times, which we would call very primitive, human beings have always, always longed for something beyond themselves. They didn't know how to call it God. We certainly know through all the generations that many people just simply created gods. You certainly can recall Paul's letter to whoever it was when he was in Greece. I see you are a very religious people. You have statues and figures and figurines of all the God of the sky, God of the earth, God of the water. Here's a God unknown. There's something in us. I wonder what it was, what it is. It is the Lord himself. What is it about human nature that draws us to the divine? It can only be God. So Advent really is a season centered on time. From the beginning of time to the fullness of time to the fulfillment of time. In the earliest of times, even as Jesus alludes in the gospel, this story of Noah is not the earliest story, and I don't know the chronology of the Old Testament as I might. But we certainly all know the story of Adam and Eve, the fall, that lousy snake and that delicious apple. I wonder if it was a golden delicious, or I wonder if it was a whatever kind of apple. But who's pursuing who? Are we pursuing God, or is God pursuing us? Because from those earliest days, Abraham, our ancestor, father in faith, one of the earliest whom God called, Sarah, who herself in her long and late years bore a child. The sacrifice of Isaac, that covenant that anticipated in those earliest of days, I'm going to say 8,000 years ago, theoretically, about that long, really? About 8,000 years ago, God used Isaac as an image in anticipation of the son Jesus. And all the subsequent covenants, all the Jewish sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs and all of that. That's Advent in pre-Christ times. And then there is what we know as the fullness. What is the fullness of time? Or should I say, who is the fullness of time? Jesus. And that fullness of time is now. Every day, but it's the already and yet the not yet. The Advent time is also directed to the future, but we can only live in the now, and we can only know God in the now, today, snow and all. And God is here. As I mentioned, as we introduce the candles this year, Advent really is more about the second coming of Christ. Very importantly, we commemorate, we remember in a living way. Oh yeah, that old thing that happened like a long time ago. No, that's not it. It's a living remembrance commemorating the birth of our salvation in the fullness of time when Jesus came forth from the womb of the Virgin Mary. But now, because he's already come, the challenge is to be attentive and aware, awake, because the Lord is coming to you and to me day by day. And God needs and wants us in the world to be agents and ministers to bring about his kingdom that we all long. So I asked, are you afraid of death? I could also ask then, mindful that we are now in Christ, do you believe you're going to heaven? Maybe that's part of the fear. I don't know. I'm not going to get to heaven because I'm so wonderful. I'm going to get to heaven because God's wonderful, don't you think? So we're standing on pretty solid ground. God is with us. I remember an article I read in U.S. Catholic Magazine. I'm not sure that's published anymore. It's 30-some years ago. And I've used this example of all because often I use it because it's so stunning to me still after all this time. And it was Brian Swim and other astrophysicists who wrote this article, which don't normally show up in U.S. Catholic. But anyways, you know, now they're pretty convinced, astrophysicists and scientists, they're pretty convinced that we really all got here by the Big Bang. Did I mention that last week or the week before? And what was that a bang of? Basically a bunch of dust, isn't it? But it said that the Big Bang, if it had been a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second faster, it would have exploded into nothingness. And by the same degree, of a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second slower, it would have imploded. You think creation is rather intricate and intimate? I think so. And so is the action and the reality of God in and with us. More recently, or at least a couple weeks ago or 10 days ago when I wrote this article, the thought did come to mind. I know it's not particularly absolutely true, but this year it did strike me that often enough, not always, Advent is presented and received as this gentle season of attentiveness and maybe even a sentimentality as we prepare for Christmas. Now, there's nothing wrong with that per se, because Christmas has so many beautiful family images, the crib, the crash, the gifts, the trees, the lights, the cookies, and all the Christmas cheer that surrounds the event of Christmas. We know that Advent doesn't carry the same weight or the impact of the weeks of Lent as we prepare for the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, nor is it intended to. But I certainly remember, and I know you do as well, when we were kids, there was a much more seemingly distinct penitential sense to the Advent season. What did we not do today in our liturgy? Why did we not sing the Gloria? It signifies something of a penitential time so that when we sing the Gloria again in 4 weeks, that we're revived again to literally spring up and give glory to God for the gift of Jesus the Christ, born in one like ourselves, Mary, the Virgin Mother. So consider attentively the reality that we're being asked to prepare for. I think in reality, in all truth, the season couldn't be more radical. Because God, after hundreds of generations of human beings longing to be free from countless forms of pain and suffering, sin, disorder, oppression, human infidelity, idolatry, God breaks into the world. So think of the longing of all those people, you know, primitive people, and up to the time of the Israelites a couple thousand years ago, and all the warring and infidelities and chaos, and they're longing for a Messiah, but they have no idea who that's going to be, what it's going to look like, and when it's going to happen. They don't know, but they're all longing. Is anybody in here longing for peace in the world today? I am. I pray for that every day. I pray for it every day I stand at that altar. You better be praying for that, because if you're not praying for that, no wonder it's not coming. It's going to take all of us in our minds and our hearts and our souls that things aren't right the way they are. And I don't just mean in our country. I mean in humanity, society, civilization, peoples, and leaders of nations. But we are at this point of time where God has been revealed to us. So think about that, how radical that is in our lives, that God has broken into our world. Oh, yeah, that's old news. I know it's 2,000 years ago. But if he's not new today, if he's not reborn in us day by day or at least year by year, then how is God going to be present in the world? He's got to be present in us. I mentioned Advent is time-centered. So that in the fullness of time, God himself takes flesh through the Virgin Mary, so that he himself is that fullness of time. Advent is celebrated universally throughout the world, not only in the church, but many non-Christians just sort of join the parade and participate in the activities of Christmas. I'm quite aware there's many religions that don't practice religion, but culturally, many people plug in anyway because it's a great time of year. But the feast really, for ourselves as professed Christians, calls us to be attentive and committed personally, because God, it comes to us personally. Yes, we can and could and should think about the wide reality that God came to every single one of us personally, but also collectively as the living body of Christ. And God came to all of us in the wideness and the breadth, the intimacies, the beauties, and the intricacies of all creation. God is here. Think back on your best vacation this past year. And you looked at beautiful scenes, maybe at your cottage or on the boat or wherever you, maybe you went to Puerto Rico or some beautiful place. Those are images of God, are they not? They are. So to think about the whole thing and the largeness of it all is a little too abstract. But we can do that from time to time. But it's also essential that in the immediate context of our lives, noting and paying attention to the rhythms of our personal life, where do you see and know Christ in yourself, in those with whom you live, your children, your grandchildren? These are all the beautiful ways that are most poignant and most immediate to us. It is that which makes Advent a liminal time. Remember, we first used that word, I used it, kind of learned about that word, at the beginnings of the time of COVID. Liminal means in between. We're not really able to be what we were during COVID, because now we're like in COVID, everybody stay home, no church, no shop, you know, shopping, you know all the people that couldn't get haircuts. And now we're kind of through that and we're in a new time. Not particularly great, I'd have to say, sorry. But what's the time we're in? We're in the fullness of time, Christ who is with us. It's a holy time. It's unsettled to go from one period of time to another season of life. We're unsettled about the politics and the social challenges and oppressions and war and starvation and hunger in the world. And we should be unsettled by that, because it's out of order of what God hopes and intends for us. So I invite you, please, to take seriously the Advent season. You see, I just skipped four paragraphs there. I just don't want you to miss that. I did. But they're on print. You can see them. So I just have a few reflection questions for us, and maybe they can help you. Now, for some, it'll sound a little odd, But you well know that themes of Advent, pregnancy, waiting, anticipation, hope, joyful hope. So what's pregnant? What's trying to come to birth in you as a person of faith in your rhythm of life? That's a spiritual question. I don't see too many people in here that are of childbearing age. Well, there's a few. But spiritually, does not God, by the power of the Spirit, invite us to conceive insight, transformation, healing, by the power of the Word that we proclaim and reflect on week by week, sometimes day by day, and transformed by the living body and blood of Christ that we receive at the altar? What are you most longing for? What's your deepest desire as a human being in Christ? Something that you know is in you. Oh, I've done it before, and she's sitting right there. I know Michelle here. She's waiting. Are you still praying for Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what? I learned this from Debbie. When she doesn't get what she wants when she prays to Jesus, she says, okay, Jesus, you're not hearing my prayer. I'm going to tell the Father on you. And then she prays to the Father. Okay, Father, come on. We've been waiting now. We're praying in the name of Jesus. I mention your name at daily mass occasionally. We've laid hands on you. We put the relic of St. Vincent Ferrer on you. What are you waiting for? There's a kidney out there somewhere for you. I hope it finds you before it's too late. There's hope there. Now, that's a personal example. But there's something being birthed in all of us spiritually. You may or may not know what it is, but if you're attentive to yourself spiritually, God is longing that we conceive and bring forth a newness, a healing, a conversion, an awakening, some kind of a fuller awareness of the reality that God is with us now, and we're moving forward to the fulfillment of that in the second coming of Christ, or at the fullness of our coming to Christ when we get to the pearly gates. Or as some say, our come to Jesus meeting. I hope that's not a fearful day for you. That's why we prepare and pray and set ourselves in the mind and the heart of Christ. That's why Advent is a birthing season. God's doing something in you, don't you think? Don't you think God's doing something in the world? God's not just sitting back thinking, that place is a mess. I'm going to just leave them on their own for a while and let them just wear themselves out and all that. Don't think that. God's doing something in the church. God's doing something in the world. And God's doing something in you. Because if he's not doing something in you and me, then nothing's going to happen in the world, right? Because we are the agents to bring about God's kingdom. I think Michelle's a pretty good idea to have her around another 30 years. Don't you?
Yeah.
Well, for Lord, she's going to need another kidney for that. You see, we are personally loved by God, particularly and uniquely in ourselves, but collectively we are all united in and with and for and through the same Christ. Consider Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the time of the Annunciation. She knew very little, if anything at all, except of the mystery that stirred her heart so deeply that she allowed God in the Spirit to change and transform her life, to prepare her body as well as her soul to bring forth Christ our Savior. What's God doing in you that the world needs? How can you in some way, how can I in whatever way, help bring about the kingdom of God? And say, well, Father, do you see where we are in life right now? I know some of you don't buy green bananas. You can say a Hail Mary. You can put aside complaining and negativity, and you can be positive and hopeful. You can be grateful. You can call your friends and let your friends call you. You can do acts of kindness. Nobody can save the world. That's already been done by Jesus. But we can help others be aware of it by participating actively in the mind and the heart of Christ. May God be praised this day. We are beginning a new season. May God be birthed in you and in me for the glory of God.